Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney has been officially kicked out of her leadership role with House Republicans. The vote came earlier this morning after Cheney continued her criticism of former President Donald Trump and his false claims about the 2020 election. We're talking about that story and more in our weekly look at the top stories in Washington. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the vote to remove Cheney from that leadership position? If you're a Republican, do you want to see your party stay close to former President Trump or plot a new course? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Nicholas Wu is a reporter for Politico who covers Congress. Nicholas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Can you tell us how this vote went this morning?
It was really quick. This entire meeting was held behind closed doors, as are most Republican conference meetings, but it was over in 15 minutes. They held a voice vote, and that was it. Congresswoman Cheney was removed from her position in leadership. No one else spoke up in support or opposition during the meeting, and she gave some remarks at the top.
I want to give a listen to Representative Cheney on the House floor yesterday in a speech. She restated her criticism of former President Trump and his false election claims. Here's a little bit of it.
Attacks against our democratic process and the rule of law empower our adversaries and feed communist propaganda that American democracy is a failure. We must speak the truth. Our election was not stolen, and America has not failed.
That was Liz Cheney yesterday, and it doesn't sound like she's changed her tone since that vote this morning. Nicholas, what have we heard from her since then?
Not at all. I mean, at the very beginning of the conference meeting, she basically had to keep on fighting. And you know, she said that she'd be leading the fight to restore the Republican Party to what she saw as its conservative principles. And she actually ended her remarks with a Bible prayer saying, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." She also spoke to reporters immediately after and gave some very brief remarks, basically showing that she wasn't backing down from her position at all.
What have we heard from leading Republicans about the argument for removing her from this number three spot among House Republicans?
Well, the interesting thing about Congresswoman Cheney is that she's really much more conservative than many other Republicans. She's definitely she's not going to be switching parties anytime soon. So what this really came down to was her support for impeaching President Donald Trump over the January 6th insurrection and over some of her previous criticisms of the president. This is really something that had came up among Republican members and to a large amount of the caucus who saw her basically as out of line with their support for the president or the former president, rather.
Talking to Nicholas Wu from Politico, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the decision by House Republicans to remove Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming from a leadership spot in the House over her criticisms of former President Trump and what you think about the future of the party, the role of the former president in the future of the Republican Party, 800-642-1234. Nicholas, some people have characterized this as kind of a civil war amongst Republicans, other people saying that war is over. This is a purge. The pro-Trump side has won, and they don't want voices that are critical of Trump getting in the way of the race for Congress next year. Where do you read that?
This is definitely something that Democrats are seizing on. I mean, right as it looked like Trump was going to kind of fade away, he's been banned from Facebook. He's been banned from Twitter. He's lost most of his platforms. This brings him right back into the spotlight. And you know, almost immediately after this vote happened, you started seeing fundraising emails coming from Democrats saying that they wanted to basically soliciting donations and really bringing back Trump as kind of the boogeyman behind a lot of this. And to Democrats, this is something that they think can not only help them keep their current hold on power, but also expand their majorities in the House and Senate. Now, whether that actually happens remains to be seen.
Right. Generally, it seems like when you're the outside party, as the Republicans are now, you want to focus on the current occupant of the White House, in this case, Joe Biden in 2010, Barack Obama, finding fault, criticizing where you think they went wrong on policies. I don't know. Do Republicans want to be having conversations about Donald Trump in particular in 2022, even though they need his support in many ways?
You know, it really depends on who you talk to. A lot of Republicans really do see the former president as making a huge difference for them. But others, for sure. I mean, they would prefer to be talking about anything else, whether it's jobs or infrastructure or you know, any other topic besides the former president.
The future of this leadership spot, Representative Lee Stefanik of New York has been the main person people are talking about replacing Liz Cheney. I understand there's some talk that somebody may someone else may throw their hat into the ring. What's going on with the replacement process now?
Well, that's all very much in flux right now. Tonight, Stefanik is meeting with members of the Conservative House Freedom Caucus to try to shore up that front. And then tomorrow, House Republicans are going to have their candidate forum where they will hear from Stefanik or really anyone else who decides to run for this position before they go and actually vote for the position on Friday. So far, Stefanik is the only one running. But like you mentioned, yes, there is potentially one other person who might run among others, and that's Congressman Chip Roy, also a member of the Freedom Caucus, this conservative group from Texas.
Let's go to a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in Green Bay. Mary, hello.
Hi. Yes, I have to say that Liz Cheney had it right. It made my skin crawl every day when I heard the racial slurs, I heard the bad-mouthing, the name-calling, making fun of people, things that we teach kids that they shouldn't do. And yet the person who we're supposed to hold in high esteem was doing that every single day. What does that show, how we're supposed to act? And I hope he doesn't get back in. I'd like to see him leave the world, actually. So she's got it right, and I thank her for coming forth.
Mary, thanks for the call. So, Mary, I think pretty clearly there, Nicholas, not a fan of Donald Trump, even before January 6th. It took until then for some Republicans to speak up about President Trump. Most of them didn't stick with it very long, unlike Liz Cheney.
Right. I mean, the Republican Party is still trying to figure out where they'll go forward from here. I mean, Congressman Cheney spoke to reporters after this vote and said very explicitly that she would do everything she could to keep former President Trump out of the Oval Office again. And, you know, we still don't know if he's actually going to run again or not, but that possibility is very much there.
Thanks for the call, Mary, at 800-642-1234. Well, speaking of looking to the future here, we've got President Biden now meeting with the congressional leaders from both parties, so the big four, the party leaders in each chamber of commerce, I think for the first time in his term. What do we know about this meeting between Biden, Pelosi, McConnell, McCarthy, and Schumer?
Well, congressional leaders came out of this and Republicans really threw down the gauntlet here. I mean, they drew what they are explicitly calling a red line for any kind of infrastructure package. And that is how you would pay for it. Democrats really want to undo parts of Republicans' major tax reform that they did in 2017 to pay for parts of the bill. Republicans are saying that's entirely off limits. So, this is going to be all part of the give and take as they haggle this proposal. How are you going to pay for it? You know, what can both parties actually come to an agreement on if Democrats actually do decide that they want to go with a bipartisan bill?
Yeah, and the bipartisan bill, to get bipartisan support, it seems like there'd have to be a smaller bill or smaller bills divvying up some of the things that are in this couple trillion dollars over a decade or so from the Biden administration. Do you see Democrats talk along those lines like, yeah, maybe we don't go for everything at once?
It depends on who you talk to. But I mean, I think the fact of the matter here is that as a lot of Democrats see it, they hold a really slim majority in both the House and Senate. And as many Democrats see it, there's not really a whole lot of incentive for Republicans ultimately to work with them. So let's just say they even could come up with smaller bipartisan packages on on just, say, the traditional infrastructure bill of like roads and bridges and pipes and the like, and then take out some of the other parts like the child care and what they're calling like social infrastructure and do that in other bills. It's not clear they would get any Republican support for those anyway. So if you're not going to win any Republican votes in the end, why not just do everything at once and get everything you wanted?
We're picking up our look at the top stories in Washington. Nicholas Wu is with us from Politico, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the ouster of Liz Cheney from a leadership position, the prospects for bipartisan cooperation, maybe on infrastructure, 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. John is with us in Arena. John, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me. I just wanted to say that the whole Liz Cheney thing really points a finger at the Republican Party, in that Trumpism just seems like another a staple to the party now. It's almost as if Liz Cheney has become like, they're treating her as if she's like pro-abortion or something. You know, you have people like Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham who were outspoken against him early on. Now they've just adopted him. I think it's going to split the Republican Party up.
John, thanks a lot for that call. Nicholas, what do you think? Do you see prospects for some splitting off from the Republican Party?
I don't think so. Congresswoman Cheney made it very clear that she's, you know, still a Republican and not leaving the Republican Party, nor even, as some might imagine, even becoming a Democrat. She still very views herself very much as a Republican. And I think, you know, with the exception of a few folks over the past, a few members of Congress who have retired in the past year and then said that they were becoming independents, we're not seeing this movement within Congress itself. And I mean, even looking historically, it's very rare for third parties to fission off like that. And when they do, you know, look at, say, Teddy Roosevelt and the Bull Moose Party, they don't really do very well. And they end up splitting the ticket in other ways.
With John's point about ideology, Liz Cheney very much in the mold of the Republican Party of, say, 8-12 years ago on a lot of issues. And now it's changed a lot. More hostile to immigration, calling for tougher immigration laws. At least less professed interest in overseas military actions. Have you seen the ideology of the party in some ways leave someone like Liz Cheney behind?
You know, someone like Liz Cheney actually was already on the right side of the party, so to speak, to begin with. I mean, she already, you know, very much was a military hawk. She took a harder line on immigration. The person who could very possibly replace your Congresswoman Stefanik actually has a more moderate voting record than Cheney. I mean, she voted against Republicans' big 2017 tax reform because of what it would do to cap the deduction New Yorkers could take on state and local taxes. I think what we're seeing now is less about ideology and more really about Trump, frankly.
Let's bring on one more caller on this issue. Jackie is with us in Milwaukee. Jackie, hello.
Hi. I wanted to say that I've been a registered Republican for almost 30 years now, although my political bent is a little more libertarian. But I will not vote for a Republican unless it was a very good person, you know, who I agreed with. But because of the Lindsey Grahams and the Ted's, Cruz's, and the Ron Johnsons, and all these people who put party over the people and over decency and ethics.
Jackie, can I ask, is there someone in Wisconsin recent Republican history or national that you'd point to and say, yeah, that's the kind of Republican I would vote for?
I would say... Well, Reagan, that goes pretty far back. The Bushes, to me, weren't bad. You know, I'm conservative, but more libertarian, where people should still have rights, smaller government, but fiscally responsible and rights for gun control.
Jackie, thanks. Sorry to put you on the spot there. I was just really curious. So, Nicholas, I guess a big question in Republicans' minds is how many Jackies are out there who we used to have their vote probably guaranteed, and now, at least as Jackie says, case-by-case basis, depending on who's running?
That's a good question. I mean, I think former President Trump, in a lot of ways, really scrambled a lot of the political framework there, since he didn't quite fit into the mold of a traditional Republican in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, for example, fiscal conservatism, you know, really worrying about the deficit was not a major concern during the Trump years. And, you know, he really struck at a lot of these kind of core tenets of conservatism. I mean, look at how relatively dovish he was on a lot of foreign policy. So all that being said, I think the next few election cycles are really going to be a major test of whether or not there is some sort of broader political realignment going on here, where, you know, these voters like Jackie, for example, might see themselves drifting away from the Republican Party, or if you have a more quote-unquote traditional Republican come along that can bring them back into the fold. You know, we'll see if that happens or not.
Jackie, thanks again for that call. We're talking to Nicholas Wu from Politico about big stories in national politics. Nicholas, I want to spend a few minutes on a story you've been following, police reform and some divides. So we've been talking about Republicans mostly now some divides among Democrats on the issue of police reform at the national level. What kind of things are you seeing?
Well, there have been negotiations going on for the past few weeks between lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. And the unfortunate thing here is that many of these same issues that really tripped up negotiations over police reform last year, after the protests over George Floyd really spurred Congress to try to take action, are again tripping them up. So a very good example of that is on this legal doctrine called qualified immunity, which effectively shields a lot of members of police departments from lawsuits. And Democrats are saying that they want this and any sort of reform to this to be in any police reform bill. Republicans, on the other hand, are saying that's a red line for them. So, you know, they had a meeting today on this. Democrats went in looking optimistic about things. And Congresswoman Bass told us afterwards that, you know, it was still their position that qualified immunity has to be eliminated, whereas Senator Tim Scott, who's the main Republican negotiator here, told us that he was on the exact opposite side. So, you know, this goes to show that despite President Biden's end of May deadline to reach some sort of deal, they're still very much at an impasse.
Are there items when it comes to police reform that we are seeing enough agreement between the Republican negotiators and the Democrats, or at least there's some common ground as they try to deal with things like qualified immunity?
It looks like one major issue that had previously been a sticking point where they're coming towards some sort of agreement is on these transfers of military equipment to police departments. You know, this has become highly controversial, as you would see videos of former military armored personnel carriers and other things rolling through city streets in response to protests. Both sides are saying that they're getting warmer on a kind of deal here, but, you know, without any kind of actual bill text, the devil is really in the details. And, you know, we don't really know yet if this is going to be something that, you know, progressives and conservatives and both parties will be okay with, let alone the activist base, which is very much clamoring for action here.
And then another story you've been following, Nicholas, threats against members of Congress going up, according to Capitol Police, especially since, I imagine, January 6th. What are we hearing there?
Yeah, I mean, this was really startling disclosure from the Capitol Police, and it comes as right now they're debating a potentially multi-billion dollar a bill that would provide more funding to provide security for the Capitol and to provide more funding to the Capitol Police. This was a big spike in cases, and it's been on the rise for years. So this is weighing really heavily on lawmakers' minds right now. I mean, some have hired private security. Others have really shelled out on high tech security systems for their houses. It's a very real concern for people here.
How much is January 6th looming over the minds of people in Congress? Hearings still going on about it, and at the same time, some Republicans saying that's behind us, let's move on. I don't know. Is this still something that people are really talking about?
It's very much on people's minds here. I mean, for a lot of members of Congress and staff and reporters that were here on the 6th, it was a very traumatic event, and people are still processing that. And so today, for example, there was a major hearing on this where we heard from the former acting Secretary of Defense and the acting Attorney General about basically the Trump administration's response to the insurrection. And Democrats were rather unsatisfied with their answers. And Republicans, on the other hand, some during this hearing had actually basically tried to downplay some aspects of the insurrection. And, this is something that is disrupting things even on a member-to-member level. The Democrats are saying that, like, with Republicans thinking this way, how can we possibly work with them? And this is going to be a continual problem here.
Nicholas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
No problem.
That was Nicholas Wu, congressional reporter for Politico, with us to talk about some of the top stories in national politics, including House Republicans removing Liz Cheney from a leadership spot.